RSF has a bad track record and has not done anything to create trust in what it says. And so I think that Sudanese citizens and the international community need to be extremely skeptical about the commitments and promises that either side makes. I think we have to enter these conversations with the expectation that the parties are looking for back doors through which they can ultimately escape pressure and retain power. Now, I don't mean to dismiss entirely the context of these talks. The fact that they are having these discussions is notable, but I think we have to assume that the RSF is not a good faith actor in these discussions. It is recognizing that it is facing pressure, both publicly and internationally. And so it is engaging in these talks, I think, not out of a willingness to reform itself or to transform the nature of the Sudanese state, but because they've been, you know, kind of forced into this. But we should expect them to, you know, look for ways to limit their own loss of power and influence.
The current negotiations are, of course, in line with the December framework agreement that Sudan's generals signed with civilian forces to restore a civilian transitional government following the coup the year before. You seem to be skeptical about a genuine commitment, whether on the part of the army or the RSF, to reform themselves and to form a national army.
I would say that anyone who is a student of Sudanese history has to be skeptical about the military's, any part of the military's interest in reforming itself. I'm old enough to remember the Naivasha Accords and the Machakos Protocol and the Comprehensive Peace Agreement and the Darfur Peace Agreement. Sudan is a graveyard of peace agreements, all of which have been negotiated by essentially the same military government that holds power today. All of those peace agreements were tactical retreats, but not strategic shifts. And I mean that because in all of those circumstances, the military was brought to the negotiating table by popular pressure on the ground and international pressure diplomatically from a coalition of external states, from the UN, and from African IGAD countries. You know, if you look back at the last, you know, 25 years of political negotiations, they have all played out the same way. I have on my desk here a 150-page copy of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement and, you know, was one of the officials that negotiated the implementation of that agreement. And I can tell you that every single day, the Sudanese military was looking for ways in all of those different provisions to undermine that agreement. And that was a comprehensive peace agreement that took many years to negotiate. So I just don't think that we can ignore the past practice of this military. And we have to assume that the leopard has not changed its spots and that the way that they have approached past negotiations that would see them fundamentally transformed is likely to end up the same way, which is them escaping their own accountability and them escaping ultimate transformation.